Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
And if you would, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. This is one of the passages that many of our students have memorized over the years, especially the ladies. Proverbs chapter 31. This is God's word. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Give beer to those who are perishing, wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Verse 10 and following is an acrostic using the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and it's a wonderful memory device. It's a way, if you know Hebrew, it's a great way of memorizing this in the Hebrew. If you don't, you just have to memorize it in English. But this is a poem. It's intended to be poetic. and yet it's also God's word, and it's definitely instructive. But before we get to verse 10 and the acrostic poem, I want you to see what is said in the opening verses, because a lot of people read verse 10 and following, and they say, that holds up an impossible standard for women, okay? That's just crazy. You can't possibly do all that. I mean, this woman's up before dawn, and her light doesn't go out at night. I mean, is she sleeping with the light on, or is she actually still working? And apparently, she's still working. So, you know, what kind of standard is that? Well, let's look. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. We've got a lot of stuff in here from father to son, father to son, father to son. The final chapter in the book of Proverbs is mother to son. Okay? So get that. Ladies, bear in mind, this is the standard as described by mom. You want to get along with your mother-in-law? Learn it right here. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. The first thing she warns him is watch out for women. They can ruin you, okay? And if anybody in the scriptures would be an example of that, besides King Ahab, who was married to Jezebel, that's a story. But besides them, Solomon. Solomon was arguably ruined by women. He had hundreds of wives and concubines. This is crazy. But he didn't just marry a whole bunch of women. He married a bunch of pagan women. He did stuff in order to form political alliances. So where did he learn that? His daddy, unfortunately, King David. David had multiple wives. But you reap what you sow, and you reap more than what you sow. Solomon not only married pagan women, which was absolutely forbidden by God, but then he built places for them to worship their false gods. The Bible tells us that those who worship idols, the idol is nothing, but there are demons behind the idol. There are spiritual realities attached to false worship. And that's why we need to realize that greed is idolatry. And Jesus says no one can serve God and mammon. And if we are not careful living in this pagan culture that we live in, we can fall into the kinds of mammon worship that amount to idolatry, and it will not go well for us or our families or the next generation. Lemuel's mom warned him, be careful because women can lead you into that. What is it about women? Well, she's talking to her son. If she was talking to her daughter, what would she be saying? Don't squander what God has given you on men who lead you astray. Be careful. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are going to be tempted, the likeliest tool the devil will use is somebody to whom you were really attracted. I've seen it happen time and again with people who had enormous potential until all of a sudden they're, oh, wow. And somebody who caught their eye, caught their heart, and led them into things that they would never have done except that they wanted to make a favorable impression on that person. And for the sake of pleasing that person, they compromised their morals, they lowered their standards, and soon the guilt was such that they turned away from God. Because it's really uncomfortable to come around the one who is holy when you're engaged in things that are unholy. And so person after person turns away, led astray by people that that seemed more attractive, more appealing, more important right in the moment than God is. Be careful.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
Oh, my son, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. Does that mean I don't want you to marry? No, it means you need to be looking for a wife of noble character. I just wanted somebody who was really cool, you know, has a good sense of humor. Well, those are nice features, but that's not what matters most. What matters most is character. Character. Verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Booze will mess up your thinking and you'll end up doing things you shouldn't have done and failing to do things you should do. It is amazing how many people lose their edge because they just wanted to unwind a little bit with something to drink, and they don't realize that that thing's going to get hold of them. And so Lemuel's mom is telling him, just stay away from that. You've got responsibilities to fulfill. So are you saying there's no value in alcohol? No, actually there is value in alcohol, and it says so right here in Proverbs 31. It is a great medicine for people who are dying. Not for people who come in after a hard day and feel like they're dying, but people who are literally in the throes of death. Give beer to those who are perishing, wine to those who are in anguish. Not talking about emotionally. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Why? Because they're dying. When my dad was dying in our home, the doctor prescribed morphine. And so we had it on reserve with a bunch of syringes and all this. Dad didn't need it. He didn't need it. We'd say to him, are you comfortable? He'd nod. Are you having any pain? He'd shake his head. Praise God, that was wonderful. But I want you to understand, there is a place for stuff that knocks you out. But a party is not the place. If you are a student at Ware's Valley Ranch, there is a very high likelihood that in your family there's been a problem with substance abuse. And if you think, well, I'll be the generation that can handle it, that's like playing Russian roulette with most of the cylinders loaded. Because it's not a must. It's not something you got to have. This mom is warning her son, if you drink, it's liable to keep you from doing what you need to do. You've got responsibilities because you're a responsible person. Don't drink. Save the booze for people who are dying. Okay? Use it as medicine only. Verse 8, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. That's the responsibility of leadership. That's what the son is being told that he's supposed to do in his role. And then verse 10, the acrostic poem begins. Please notice verse 10. It introduces everything else that's going to be said. Here's what's important. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Are rubies pretty? You betcha. But guess what? Noble character, worth far more than rubies. Far more. Not just worth somewhat more. Worth far more than rubies. But what is it we're looking for here? What are we talking about? What is the thing of extreme value? Noble character. And it's rare. If there were rubies all over the ground, if every time you went out, yeah, I know, I see them, they're all over the place, they wouldn't be valuable. The thing that makes them valuable is they're not just pretty, they're hard to find. And guess what's even harder to find? A person with noble character. Most people underneath the veneer of civilization are barbarians, okay? If you get under the surface, what it turns out is that this individual is totally selfish and just wanting their own way. And so, if that's what you're going to find here, 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 you better know on the front end that there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be interested in you that you don't want to end up with. Okay? Don't assume, well, he must be the one because he makes me feel special. Okay? Yeah, he's had practice on a lot of other people that he made to feel special. There's a lot of garbage out there. Don't fall for it. But a person with noble character, a wife of noble character, is rare. Who can find such a person? She is worth far more than rubies. Next verse, 11. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. What a blessing. Trust is essential to a good marriage. Her husband has full confidence in her and he lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. As long as I live, I'm going to keep my vow. God says there's supposed to be character with the result that she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. A real marriage says, till death do us part. Verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Two aspects of this, please notice. And we're going to see these recurring in this description of the virtuous woman. She not only works with eager hands, but she is discerning. She selects wool and flax. She doesn't just grab some. She is able to look and discern. This is a good material. This is a good resource from which to make something else. She selects. She chooses. She selects wool and flax, and she works with eager hands. So you got hard work, but a discerning eye and knowledge. She's like merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She doesn't just go out in the yard and pick some dandelions to make a salad. Okay? She's like merchant ships in that she brings her food from a distance. She doesn't just rely on what is easily available, whatever is simple. I don't know. Go to Subway, get something. She gets up while it's still dark and provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Well, why doesn't she just tell the servant girls to get up? Because she takes care of the people who take care of the family. You see that? So she's got servants, but she's taking care of them. She's providing food for the family. She's getting up while it's still dark in order to do so. Verse 16. It says, she considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. She's a businesswoman. She is capable of making business decisions. Not just intellectually capable, but relationally capable. Her husband says, sure, baby, I trust you. Her husband invests her with the authority to be able to make decisions. Anybody who thinks that the Bible says women should just be barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen hasn't read the Bible, okay? Just direct them to Proverbs 31, which exalts the picture of a virtuous woman as being somebody who is able to not only go out and get food, but The model that's being exalted here is a woman who is capable of making decisions. She's invested not only with the ability, but with the authority. Verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously, and her arms are strong for her tasks. She's even fit. This is amazing. She works vigorously. Her arms are strong. She sees that her trading is profitable. Her lamp doesn't go out at night. In other words, it doesn't mean she never sleeps. It means that if there's something that needs to be done, she'll go on and get it done. Is that clear? She's not up before dawn every morning, but she's able to get herself out of bed. And her lamp doesn't go out at night. Doesn't mean never goes out at night. It means that she's able to press on, persevere, get the job done. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. This means she is hands-on in the task. She's not just telling other people what to do. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She's generous. She looks to the needs of those outside her family, outside her area of responsibility that is primary. She sees that secondary responsibility of those who are not being so well cared for, and she wants to help them too, and she's in a position to do so. So she opens her arms to the poor, extends her hands to the needy, and when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. The idea of being clothed in scarlet means they are well dressed, and there's more about that. Look, she makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. This is a person who has an appreciation for beauty, and she tries to create an environment that is lovely. Look at this, verse 24, here comes the manufacturing. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. In other words, people want her product. The idea of supplying the merchants with sashes is a little like making and selling neckties today, okay? You know, I don't know, there aren't that many people buying neckties. Okay, scarves. Have you seen all the guys wearing t-shirts and scarves? Something wrong there. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom. Did you hear that? She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She's knowledgeable. She's smart. She's articulate. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Man, that's some woman. Where can I find one of those? Well, actually, they're harder to find than rubies. But I want you to see, you're not looking for somebody who necessarily is expert in all these areas. Rather, this teaches us that all these areas are a biblical reflection of good character. I mean, you say, well, you know, I'm not sure that I can do all this stuff that this woman does. Oh, well, you don't have to. Aren't you glad? But you need to display the same kind of character. Hard work, attention to the needs of others, discipline, getting up early, going after it. What is the result? Verse 28 and following. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Here's what he says. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she's earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Hey, I thought the husband was at the city gate. You betcha. You know what he's discoursing about? He's praising her because she's earned it. That'll give you something to aspire to, won't it? And gentlemen, you not only need to look for somebody with good character, you need to be the kind of man that a woman like that would want to marry.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.